Hey, what's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another live edition of the Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports. And we're back at it again, folks, with some great news for you for your fantasy team. So in this show, as I usually do, I'll be starting off with the fantasy basketball segment, and then I'll be moving on to baseball, and then, as usual, close with hockey. And then finally, I will be going over the recap of the show, which will just be, as I said in my last show, but in case you missed, I'll just be going over each one of the three segments and explain what you guys missed. So there's some very good information in this show, and I really strongly recommend that you stay all the way to hear it. So let's get started only on radio.dominican.edu. And my name is DJ Roughhouse. So for this first segment, which is the fantasy basketball segment, I'll be talking about the top players of the night on this March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there. So right now, the person who is the highest scorer on the night is Paul Millsap of the Atlanta Hawks. They're playing the Chicago Bobcats, and they're in the fourth quarter. The game's not over yet. A lot of the games still aren't over yet. Some of them are at halftime, but these are just who are the top scorers right now. In the recap, I will be going over who's the highest scorers and stuff as the show progresses. But for now, it's Paul Millsap. He has 24 points. He's made 2 3-pointers. He's snagged 5 boards off the glass, has 1 assist and a block. He's shooting over 500% from the field goal line, and he was also in the draft pick. So, I mean, most of the guys I'll be talking about now were drafted, so there's not really any pickups, but this is just to build your team's confidence if you have a player in the top players of the night. So next is Lance Stephenson. He plays for the Indiana Pacers, as a lot of people know. And they're in the third quarter right now. They're playing against the 76ers. And Lance Stephenson is having himself a pretty good night. He's 5 for 5 free throws, 7 of 12 from the field, shooting over 500 again. He has 19 points on the night. And then next is Kemba Walker of the Chicago Bobcats. And he is doing very well with 4 3-pointers. I repeat, 4 3-pointers with 3 rebounds and 4 assists. He has more 3-pointers made than rebounds. And he also has a steal and a block. Wow. With 18 points on the night. And he is 2-2 from the free throw line, shooting under 500. He's shooting 400 on the night. And he's 6 of 15 from the field. Then we have Paul George, who plays for the Indiana Pacers, and he's a shooting forward for them. Shooting guard, I apologize. He's a shooting guard for them, and he has 16 points on the night with 1 steal, 1 assist, 7 rebounds, and he is 12 of 13 from the line. Wow, he gets fouled a lot. He drives the lane really hard, and he really he goes to the hole very strong, which is a really huge part that many players just, they like to get all fancy and dance around a little bit and then just throw up these little baby fadeaways or floaters. Paul George goes to the rack hard and he finishes strong, and that's why he's so entertaining to watch, and that's why he's such a great player. I mean, he goes to the lane, he drives the lane and he attacks the basket, and that's why he gets fouled, and that's why he gets these extra 12 points on the night. I mean, he's solid. He's a solid player, and he has been, and he's going to be for a while. Sorry. And then next, there is Gerald Green, who plays for Phoenix, and he has 15 points so far. They're at halftime, though, so there's still a lot of game left on that one. And he has 2 steals at the half with 3 3-pointers, and he is 2 of 3 from the free throw line and 5 of 8 from the field. He's shooting 625%. Then we have Deron Williams, who is part of the Brooklyn Nets, and they are playing Phoenix. And he also has 15, which is ironic, coincidence, I should say. And he has a steal and 4 assists, and he has made 1 3-pointer. But he usually drives the lane. He's 2 for 3 from the field goal or from the free throw line. Gerald Green and Deron Williams, just fused their names. Gerald Green and Deron Williams, their stat line is nearly the same, although Deron Williams has been playing 2 minutes less than him. But besides that, it's nearly identical. So coming in next on the list is Al Jefferson of the another Charlotte Bobcat, and he's doing okay. He's 5 of 14 from the field, which is all right, but he's 4 of 4 from the free throw line, which is shooting 100% from the free throw line, which is really great. I mean, free throws have always been crucial. They're a crucial part of the game, and he has 11 rebounds, so he's with 14 points. I mean, he has a double-double, and I mean, anytime you can put together a double-double like that, it's a great night. And he has 3 assists and 1 steal to go with those other stats. And there's Thaddeus Young, and he has 14 points with 1 block, 1 assist, and 4 rebounds, shooting 385 from the field, and he has 1 of 3 from the free throw line, so he should definitely work on shooting better and from the free throw line, because those points, those are just gimmies, and you always want to get those whenever they're available. Next is Hollis Thompson, and he plays for the Philadelphia 76ers as well. And he has 14 points on the night with 1 block and 2 assists and 3 rebounds. Or I'm sorry, 5 rebounds. And then next is Kevin Durant of the Oklahoma City Thunder. And you would really not anticipate him to be this low on the list. But, I mean, he's not even close to halftime, and he already has 12 points and 4 of 4 from the free throw line. And he's shooting 500 from the field. But, I mean, I really cannot stress how crucial free throws are. And if you're going to pick up a fantasy player, you would definitely want them to shoot very well from the free throw line. And you would want them to be able to perform at the free throw line and make sure that they get those gimme points, because those points really add up when it comes down to it in the end. And you really want to have your players be able to help your team out by making those points and also helping their team out. I mean, I'm sure their teammates and their coaches are extremely mad when they miss a free throw, because, I mean, I played high school basketball for all 4 years, and free throws are so important, and my coaches could not just stress it enough, so I got really good at them. And then next is Michael Carter-Williams, and he is 11 points on the night. They're late in the third quarter. He also plays for the Philadelphia 76ers. He is also in the Rookie of the Year contest, and what Michael Carter-Williams has done, he triple-double out of nowhere, and now he's just doing his thing. He's in the flow of it. He's shooting 5 of 10 from the field tonight, so that's 500%. He's doing okay. 11 rebounds and 11 points, so he already has a double-double as well, but he has no three-pointers. And, I mean, points are points, so, I mean, you don't really need three-pointers, but it is a separate category when you do have fantasy basketball, in case you didn't know. But the way they have it set up is the 3 points is its own segment, so it's its own part, and you really want to fill that up. But Michael Carter-Williams is not one of the players to do it, but he's you wouldn't anticipate him to be on the rebound aspect of it, even though he is very tall. But he needs to get a little more muscle strength. But he has 11 rebounds on the night, so I mean, good for him. And the next is Kyle Korver, who had his three-point record snapped. It was at 152 or 156, something crazy. Consecutive games with a three-point made, and it was snapped just a couple days ago or a couple weeks ago. And he has 2 three-pointers on the night. He has 10 points. As I said, the numbers are low because it's really early in the evening still, so just the afternoon games or the games in general are just finishing up or getting started. There's still a lot of time left. And then we have Mike Scott of another Atlanta player, and he has 10 points as well. He is 0 for 1 from the free throw line and 5 of 10 from the field. And to go along with that, he has 3 rebounds and 1 assist. And then we have Tony Roten of the Philadelphia 76ers as well, and he has 10 points on the evening. And then from here down, everybody else just has under 10 points, because these are very early games. So I'm going to jump two names down and go to James Harden, and because the Houston Rockets playing the Utah Jazz tonight, and they are doing very well. It's 44-29 with 6:18 left in the second. And James Harden already has 8 points with 1 3-pointer, and he's 100% from the free throw line. He is one of the greatest free throw shooters in the league right now, and he is 3 of 5 from the field. And then below him is Jeff Teague, of another Atlanta player, and he has 8 points. And he has 8 assists on the night as well as 6 rebounds. So possible triple-double? Who knows? There's only 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, though, so I don't think that it would be very difficult to scavenge a triple-double this late in the game. But he could. I mean, anything's possible in this beautiful world of sports. And then next is Jeremy Lin. And Jeremy Lin also plays for the Houston Rockets, and he has 8 points on the night. And he is 2 of 3 from the free throw line, and 3 of 4 from the field, shooting 750% from the field, and 667% from the free throw line. And then that will do it for here on the fantasy basketball segment. Stay tuned, and I'll be right back with the fantasy baseball segment, only on radio.dominican.edu.
Why does he do it that way?
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports, only on radio.dominican.edu. My name is DJ Roughhouse, and we are on to the fantasy baseball segment, which is now part of the pitching part. Oh, I'm sorry. We're now into the fantasy baseball segment of the pitching positions. So, as I said earlier, we'll be going through each and every single category of the each and every position of baseball. And last week we did the batters, and now it is time for the pitchers. There we go. So, Clayton Kershaw is in the power rankings projected for number one overall. He is projected for 231 innings pitched, which is five less than last time, I'm sorry. And then he's also projected to play 33 games and make 33 game starts, which is the same as last season. And then 59 walks, which is a little higher than where you, I mean, of course you'd want it to be at zero, but I mean, 59, it's a little high, but I mean, it's much, much better than some of the other pitchers out there that just go for hundreds and hundreds of walks. So in that aspect, he's doing very well for himself. And the next is the strikeouts, and he is projected for 235 strikeouts, which is more than he did last year. And any time you see that, you would want to really see a higher number than last season, and they really have him coming into his own stride and just delivering for this Dodgers ball club and just give them really good numbers. And 235 strikeouts is incredible. And then they're also having him going for another 20-win season with a 2.77 ERA and a WHIP of 1.05. And then next we have Yu Darvish of the Texans. Or I'm sorry, the Texas Rangers. Oh my gosh, I have baseball and football confused. Yu Darvish plays for the Rangers, and he is projected for 210 innings pitched with 79 walks, which is less than last season. And as I said, anytime it's less, you would really want to really stress those numbers and make sure just kind of watch him and just see him in spring training and see how well he does. Because, I mean, when you see a pitcher play, it's much more you can really get a better evaluation of what they do on the mound better than just looking at their stats. And they have him going for 266 strikeouts, which is less than last season, but anything over 200 is insane. I mean, 266, that's nearly 300 strikeouts. He had 277 last season, and he had 13 wins. And this year they have him going for 19 wins. So they really have him going into his stride, as well as Clayton Kershaw. I mean, Yu Darvish is an up-and-comer. I really think that he's going to be able to pull through for this ball club and just really bring them the numbers that they need. However, they have him going for a 3.21 ERA, which is quite high. I mean, giving up three runs is, I mean, if you have an offense like the Rangers, you're fine. But three runs is pretty high. I mean, you want to keep it as low as possible, obviously, like Cliff Lee does, which is our next man on the list. And he has an ERA of 2.87 last year, but now they also have him up for a 3.10 this year. So they have him also raising. And as I look down the list, they are all above a 3 for the ERA. They all have them going over a 3 for the ERA this season. But however, Cliff Lee is going for 227 strikeouts is what they have him projected for. And I would say that he could easily make this number and go at least 50 more. I mean, Cliff Lee is such a great pitcher. He's a lefty, which is hardly any great lefty pitchers are still in the game today. And he is just one of the greats. And I think that he's obviously going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, I really think that if he keeps on playing the way that he does, he'll go into the Hall of Fame easily. And if Cliff Lee can, I really think that he can be much better than he's playing or has played recently. So next we have Adam Wainwright, and he's a St. Louis Cardinal pitcher. And Adam Wainwright has 219 Ks last year, and they have him going for 209 this year. And as I said, my first show, which was thinking about it now, very long time ago, as I said, my first show is that you can't underestimate a great strikeout, a high strikeout pitcher. A high strikeout pitcher is a diamond in the rough. It is amazing to have a high strikeout pitcher with great quality and a low ERA. But even if he doesn't have a low ERA, just having a high strikeout pitcher can really come through for your own team and bring them great things for your fantasy team. So don't underestimate a high strikeout pitcher, even if his ERA is high. They also have Adam Wainwright going for 19 wins this year and an ERA of 3.18. As I said, all the ERAs are fairly high. And next is Felix Hernandez. And Felix Hernandez is going for 224 innings pitched with 56 walks, which is phenomenal. I mean, low walks is what you want, and to see under 100 is great. Under 50 is also amazing. Adam Wainwright is projected for 41, and I skipped that. I apologize for that. But Felix Hernandez is projected for 56 walks with 231 strikeouts. And I'm baffled by how high their numbers are for strikeouts. It's just insane to have over 231 strikeouts. But taking into account, there's 162 games in a Major League Baseball season. But still, just to think about 231 of them, that's over one a game if you pitch every single game. So, I mean, these guys are going and throwing 7 or 8 strikeouts a game every time they have their turn in the rotation. They really have to prove themselves, and they have to show that they're important to the team and show that, hey, you're not just spending all this money on me for no reason. And then also, he is going for 16 wins this season with an ERA of 3.09. And his ERA last year was 3.04, which is still fairly high. I mean, you want it under 2 or under 3. But, I mean, it's Felix Hernandez, and he's gonna give it his best. He's a very, very emotional player, and he tries his hardest every time he goes out there. So coming in next on our list is Matt Scherzer, and he plays for the Detroit Lions. And this guy is going for 240 strikeouts last season and 231 projected for this season. He was an over 20 winner of games. He had 21 in total, and he had a 2.90 ERA. However, for this season, he has 210 innings pitched, 56 walks projected, 231 strikeouts, 16 wins with a 3.34 ERA. I actually like that stat line. I think that he's gonna do pretty well. I would suggest taking him over like a Yu Darvish, or not over Yu Darvish, but over, I would take him over a Felix or an Adam Wainwright, because I feel like he's gonna do better than what these analysts are projecting him for. I think that he's really gonna come through and give it his all and do really well. So number 7 we have is Stephen Strasburg, and he's been the talk of the town for Washington. I mean, last season there was this whole debacle about whether he should keep playing through the playoffs, but Washington really just cut him off and said, nope, we're not going to let you do this. We have to keep you as healthy as possible. And they didn't let him play. And I mean, I 100% agree with them. I mean, would you rather play another six games in the playoffs and then blow out your arm and be done for the rest of your career, or sit out those six games and then come back and play another five seasons. It's not even an option. I mean, you would want to sit him down, and I really respect what Washington did, even though they took criticism for sitting him. But they gave him a limit, and he reached it, and they're happy with his performance. And I think that he's really going to come out this year and do well for himself. They have him projected for 223 strikeouts with 54 walks and 15 wins. And they also have him for an ERA of 3.25 projected. And his last year's numbers were 56 walks, which is two more than what they have him projected for. So, I mean, they have him for less walks, and they have him for more strikeouts. So anytime you see a combination like that, and they have him for seven more wins. And, taking into account how many games Stefan Strasburg played, these numbers are impeccable. I mean, they have him really having a breakout year this year, and I'm really excited to see what he can do for the Washington team. So, ninth or eighth on our list is David Price, and he plays for the Rays. And they have him going for over 40 more innings pitched than he did last season. So they have him really taking on a huge workload with almost more than double his walks. So they're having him, he had 27 walks last year, and now they have him going for 49 walks this year. And I think that's because they have him pitching six more games in the projections. But I think that he's going to have less walks than that. And I mean, he's a very accurate pitcher, as well as they all are. But I mean, David Price especially, he really hits his marks when he's on, he's on point. He won't miss a spot, along with all the pitchers. But I really think that David Price especially is a great pitcher. And they have him going for 50 more Ks than he did last year. They have him going for 204 and seven more wins. So they really anticipate on having David Price be a very good player this year, as well as he already has been for many years. And then coming in ninth on our list is Chris Sale of the Chicago White Sox. This guy really flew under the radar last year for me. I just couldn't get my head around him being good for some reason. But I respect what he did last year, and I really regret not taking the chance to take him. And they have him going for 227 strikeouts with 52 walks and 13 wins with an ERA of 3.25. And then finally, we have coming in number 10, Madison Bumgarner, and he plays for the San Francisco Giants. And they have him going for nine less walks than he did last season, but six more strikeouts. So as well, as I said earlier, whenever you see a ratio like that, it's always great to see. And then he's going for 3.30 ERA, which, as I said, anything over a three is a little iffy, but he went for 2.277 ERA last year. So I think that he could really pull himself together and keep it below a three, just like he did last season. And that is your top 10 pitchers for the projection rankings. And you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This segment is done. I will see you guys after the break.
These are the things we lost, the things we lost in the fire.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the third segment of the Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports, only on radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Roughhouse. Let's get into the fantasy hockey segment. So I'm going to be doing the injury report as I always do, keeping you guys up to date with your fantasy injuries for hockey. So TJ Oshie is, it's personal, he may not play, or he will not play Monday night, which is tonight, against the Jets. Wow. He will not play against the Jets. He's a day-to-day, so he'll probably come back next game. Hopefully it's nothing serious for his personal reasons, but hopefully he'll get back on that as fast as possible. Next we have Dustin Byfuglien, and he plays, he's a defender. And he has a lower body. He's a game-time decision Monday night's matchup against the Blues. So just keep an eye and make sure that just watch the – or if you have Twitter, keep up to date with their put out on his health. And I think he may play. It's a lower body. That's actually a difficult one to call. I don't think he's going to play. He's a day-to-day. So I don't know if it's too serious, but I don't think he's going to play. Next, we have Chris Kunitz and his leg. It's his leg that's injured. It doesn't say which one, though. And it appears to be a better bet returning to action Tuesday than James Neal, according to the coach, Dan Bilsema. Apologize. Chris Kunitz was on the ice skating again today, a full practice, full participant. Bilsema told the Penguin website he went out before practice and a full practice. We'll see where he goes for tomorrow's game. And that is direct words from the coach's mouth. And then next, we do have James Neal. And Bilsema says he wasn't optimistic about Neal's concussion, and he don't know if he was going to return to the lineup Tuesday. And he said, and I quote, "Don't know at this point in time if he can play Tuesday versus Dallas or Thursday in Detroit." Bilsema told the Penguin website, "Obviously he was symptom free and went out for a full practice, so hopefully he remains symptom free and can progress from there." So hopefully James Neal can get back out on the ice, because I'm a huge Penguin fan and I really love their organization. And as I said earlier, I love the Penguins not because I'm a bandwagoner and they're always winning, but I love the Penguins because Penguins are my favorite animal. And I don't know why they are, but Penguins are just dope to me. So next we have Chris Stewart, and he's a placer Buffalo. He's a right wing. And Stewart's ankle will not accompany the Sabres on their upcoming road trip that starts Tuesday at Calgary, according to the John Vogel of the Buffalo News. So you can for sure count him out. And as well, you can count out Brooks Leach. He is also a Washington Capitals center. and he is out as well. Leitch had a successful procedure, though, to release a tight adductor on Monday. The Capitals' official site reports that. And then we have Cam Fowler, and he is an Anaheim Ducks defender, and he is day-to-day. Fowler's leg will undergo an MRI on Tuesday. Hopefully it's nothing serious. If he's undergoing MRI, it's not anything physical. It's not broken or anything, but it just may be a couple tendons. It may be a little loose, but I doubt that it's anything serious. It says day-to-day, so it would say IR if it was anything serious. So then we have Dave Boland of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he's a center. And Coach Randy Carlisle said Boland's ankle is week to week with his injury, so they also have him listed officially on the IR. Hopefully he can get back out on the ice as well as all the other players on the list. So next we have Martin Erat, and he plays for the Coyotes, and he has an upper body issue. He hopes to be back in the lineup Thursday versus the Panthers. It's a big game. Hopefully he can he's out indefinitely right now, but hopefully he can really get back into the lineup and play Thursday against the Panthers. That's a big game for them. And take his time getting back. Maybe he could sit out. I mean, I hate to say it, I really do, to contradict as well, but I mean, if they say that they hope he is to be back, then that means that something's for sure wrong, and I feel like stressing an injury is just the worst thing that you could do in a time such as these, especially when they're nearly midway through the season, probably midway through the season. So I would very well suggest keeping him out of the lineup and your lineup as well, because I don't know if they'll be having him in the game. Next, we have Jonathan Huberdeau, and he is a left wing. And Huberdeau, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce this, Huberdeau, he has an upper body issue and will not play Tuesday versus the Sharks. So he is indefinitely out, but he is day-to-day listed, so he'll be coming back very soon probably and get back in the lineup and get back into the flow of things. Next, we have Brandon Saad with two A's. And Saad's upper body is what's bothering him. The body is very sensitive place, and you don't want to rush back any injuries with this. You want to let them fully heal. And they say that he will not be playing Tuesday versus the Flyers. They have him day-to-day, and they say that he's out versus the Flyers, but he will be coming back probably after that game. Even though it's upper body, it's just probably a pectoral bruise or arm bruise. He'll be back soon. Then we have Jonathan Bernier, and he is out. Bernier has been diagnosed with a low-grade muscle strain. Anytime you see a muscle strain like that, it's always very serious because you never want to damage permanently with a strain, because those can turn into something nasty. Then we have Stefan Weiss, and he's on the IR. He's a center for the Detroit Red Wings. And Weiss will receive a second opinion on his sports hernia. He's not considered close to returning, but he's for sure out for a while with that sports hernia. Hopefully it's not a sports hernia, but I mean, if you have to get a second opinion, it's probably something very serious. Then we have Darren Helm, and he is out, and he plays for the Detroit Red Wings, and he has a concussion. He's hit a setback in his recovery and is likely won't be available anytime soon. And that's what AnswerCon reports of MLLive.com. Then we have Cam Fowler of the Anaheim Ducks. Every time I see that Anaheim Ducks, I always think about the Mighty Ducks and what a great movie that was. And so he's a defender, and he's day-to-day. Fowler's lower body, he did not practice Monday. And that's what Aaron Stevens of the Orange County Register reports. But I think that he's going to be coming back pretty soon. I mean, when it's listed day-to-day like that, it's never anything quite serious. But, I mean, you always want to take your time and just really just massage that and just get it out. Make sure you're all good before you go back in. And then we have Paul Stastny, and he's day-to-day. Stastny's back. Could be a lineup possibility for Tuesday game against the Canadiens, so they're really hoping him to get back. I would suggest putting him in. When you see something like that, I think that he's going to be back in. If it's a back issue and they said that he could be in the lineup possibly for Tuesday's game, I mean, he has all today and he has warm-ups tomorrow, so I think that he's going to be able to go. And then we have Redick Dvorak, and he's day-to-day. And Dvorak's upper body returned to practice Monday, and he was playing, and he did well out there, supposedly. And it's just a light upper body issue. I don't think that's going to be anything serious as well. I mean, he's listed day-to-day. And so is Ryan Carter, and he is listed day-to-day as well, as I just said. And he's a center. Carter's upper body is listed as doubtful, however, for Tuesday's game versus the Bruins. And anytime you play the Bruins, it's always a very tough game, and you never want to take those games lightly because the Bruins are something to fear in the NHL. Then there's Jiří Tlusty, and he's day-to-day. And he plays, and he's a left wing for the Carolina Hurricanes. And Tlusty's lower body is injured, a lot of bodies, as I said. And he will not play Tuesday versus the Blue Jackets. So count him out for tomorrow's game. Take him out of the lineup and sub in another left winger, because Jiří Tlusty is not going to be in there. So then we have Alexander Sulzer, and Sulzer's upper body will not travel with the Sabres during their 5-game road trip Tuesday in Calgary. So he isn't out indefinitely for the Buffalo Sabres, and he's a defender, and he is out, as well as another Buffalo player who is out, which is Zemgus Girgensons, and he is out. And another injury for the Bruins is Tyler Myers, and he's a day-to-day. However, his elbow will not set out. Oh, wow. Myers will not set out with the team on their 5-game road trip, so he's also not going. So they have three guys right there, two defenders and a center, all sitting out for Buffalo. So they're going to be very shorthanded going on this road trip, and that is bad news for their team. I mean, anytime you have guys out, it's always very bad. And there's also two more guys right here. Johannes Enroth, and Michael Nerevith. However, Michael will travel with the Sabres on their 5-game road trip, but Johannes will not travel. So now they have four guys out, and he's a goalie. But their other goalie will travel with them, so they will have one goalie, but he is a day-to-day, and he has a lower body injury. So he's injured. Very risky things going on with that Buffalo team. And then we have Chris Kunitz, and he's a Pittsburgh left winger, and he's day-to-day. His leg, he may return Sunday or Tuesday against the Stars. Hopefully he will, because I love to see all the Pittsburghs healthy and out there playing. And then we have Bo Bennett, and he's a right wing for the Pittsburgh Penguins as well. And his wrist would need a few more full contact practices before he can return in action. So hopefully he can just get those over with quickly and get everything sorted out. However, this will do it for our third segment. Stay tuned with us. We will be finishing up with our usual final recap only on radio.dominican.edu. You are listening to Penguin Radio. My name is DJ Roughhouse, and you're listening to The Fantasy Nest. Stay with us.
There will be no doom. One song. be no, no doom. Have pity on those whose chances grow thin. There ain't no hiding place from the Father of creation. Say it.
All right, what's going on, everybody? This is the final segment of our radio show this evening. And just a little recap, we're going to go back over the current top players of the fantasy basketball, and then we are going to be talking about a little bit about baseball and then a little bit about hockey, and then I'll wrap it up. So now, currently, the high scorer right now is Darren Williams. And he has 28 points on the night with 3 steals, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, and 3 three-pointers, going along with 3 for 5 from the field free throw line and 11 of 13 from the field, which is insane. And then we have Paul Millsap, who, as I said earlier, but now he is 28 points with 2 blocks, 5 rebounds, and 2 three-pointers with only 1 assist. And then coming in third is everybody's favorite player right now, Kevin Durant, with 27 points in the third quarter, with 4 assists, 8 rebounds, and 3 threes. He's 6-7 from the free throw line, shooting 857% on this evening. And he is 9-14 from the field. And then we have Lance Stevenson, and he is 25 points with 1 steal, 1 assist, and 5 rebounds. And then we have another Indiana Pacer, Paul George, and he has 24 points, no blocks, 1 steal, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists. And he's 15 of 16 from the free throw line, but he's only 4 of 14 from the field, which is all right. And then Terrence Jones, 24 points in the third quarter. And the Rockets are blowing out the... they're not blowing out the Utah Jazz, but they're up by 19. But however, Terrence Jones has 24 points, 4 blocks, 4 rebounds, and 3 threes. So he's having a great day. And then there's Thaddeus Young, and he has 23 points with 2 blocks, 1 assist, and I'm sorry, 2 assists and 5 rebounds with 4 three-pointers. And then we have Kemba Walker, who has 20 points. So he finished off with 20 points with 7 assists and 4 threes and 4 rebounds. So he did all right. However, they did lose to Atlanta. And then we have our fantasy baseball segment. So in this segment, in case you guys missed it, I talked about the pitchers who are the top 10 projected pitchers for this year's MLB season. And with the pitchers, I talked a little bit about their how important they are to a fantasy team, and that a high strikeout pitcher is very important when it does come down to it. They are very crucial to a team because they do give you extra points, and those extra points really help out in the end. And just the fact that they come together and they do well for their team and really provide great points for a fantasy team is something that every player would want to see. So anyways, Clayton Kershaw was the number one overall fantasy ranked pitcher, and he plays for the Detroit Dodgers, that everybody know. And then coming in second is Yu Darvish. And then coming in third is Cliff Lee. Fourth was Adam Wainwright. The fifth player was Felix Hernandez. And then Matt Scherzer, and I gave people a little inside tip about him. I thought that he is going to for sure do have a much better season than the people are thinking that they're going to be. So I think that he's really going to do much, much better than what people think he's going to do. And I would really suggest you picking him before an Adam Wainwright or something like that. I think that he's really going to be able to do well for the Detroit organization and for himself and for your fantasy team if you listen and you pick him up, because I really have a feeling about him. Then coming in seventh is Stefan Strasburg, and I talked a little bit about how I really respected the Washington Nationals organization, about how they really stopped him at his limit. They said, okay, you can have this many innings, and then that's it, you're done, because we really want to preserve you for this next time, the rest of your career. We want to be there for you when you are here for us, and we really don't want to see you blow out your arm. And I really thought that people took it the wrong way. They thought, oh, you're not letting him pitch just because he's in, like, I don't even know what their argument was, but it was stupid. And I think that they made the very best decision they could by letting him sit out the rest of the season. He's going to play much longer now because of it. So that was my rant on Stefan Strasburg. And then eighth, we have David Price. And I talked a little bit about him. I didn't really say much. I just said that he was a very accurate pitcher. And when he's on, he's on. And I think that he could also do very well for his team, as he has in the past. I mean, he's done phenomenal things. He only threw 27 walks last year. So, I mean, that's extremely low number. I mean, he did really well. And then ninth we have is Chris Sale. And Chris Sale is a Chicago White Sox pitcher. And I didn't really talk much about him. Or did I talk about Madison Bumgarner, who was number 10. But I'll say that they are great pitchers, but they're in the right spot where they are right now. And then finally, we talked about the hockey injuries on this beautiful day of March 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day. And I went down the list, and what we basically found out was that the Buffalo Sabres are going to have a very tough time over these next five games, because they have about six or seven players not going with them on this road trip, and they're really going to get hurt. They're really going to lose. And I think that they're going to have a tough time on this five-game road game. Also, I talked about TJ Oshie, who is personal. He was day-to-day. I mean, there's so many players, it's really hard to talk about this. But I talked about how there's a lot of upper body and lower body injuries. And if you do see that on a player, don't take the risk by starting them. Always just put them on the bench and let them do their own thing, because when it's an upper body or lower body, it's so hard to judge whether they're going to be playing or not. You could take the risk if you want, but think about it. You could either start another player who's healthy and is a sure thing that's going to be able to play and give you good points. However, if he does get injured, that's very unfortunate, but it's very unlikely. Or would you put in a player who is already injured and let him re-injure himself again and possibly be out longer and get you less points than the other player would have gotten you? So I will leave you with that. You are listening to Penguin Radio, only on radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Roughhouse, and you're listening to The Fantasy Nest. I want to thank you all for tuning in, and have a great St. Paddy's Day. Be safe. Mama, don't.